Hey everybody, it's Akshay here. Before we get started on this episode, just want to give everybody a heads up. There's a little bit of swearing in this episode, so if you're listening around kids, don't.
Raptors win! Raptors win! Get out the salami and cheese, mama! This ball game is over! There you go, folks. It's all good. It's all good.
What's up, everybody? I'd like to welcome everyone to episode 12 of TURP, or also known as the Untitled Raptors Podcast. It's your host, Talib and Akshay, once again. Thank you all for listening. Akshay, what's happening, buddy?
Had a busy weekend. We hung out on Friday. We watched the DeMar DeRozan experience at Rec Room.
I tell you, it's the most emotional I've been.
Talib was such an ass. He was emotional, and then in the last play, he was like, that's why they traded him.
No, that's not true. I didn't do that.
There's some version of that, for sure.
No, but then when you watch DeMar DeRozan all these years, you know how he gets these fouls. And then when you play against him, you're like, don't fall for the stupid shit. This is not it's a stupid foul. Like, he can't play defense, attack him, right? It's stuff like that. That was kind of funny. But overall, that was my Friday night as well. So enjoying watching. Yeah, DeMar DeRozan come back.
So I went and hung out with our softball team, our rec softball team last night. And so I started to tell a story, the Nylander story.
Yeah.
Because we were watching the Leafs game, to everybody who was there. So it must have been like 10 or 15 people there.
Yeah.
And everybody was like very engaged in the story, which made me realize none of them listened to our podcast. And then I was like, I'm halfway through the story and I'm like, I'm scanning the room and I'm like, oh, okay. Like, no, everybody's engaged. So none of them have heard this story before.
I feel like this is a good way to test our friends almost half the time. They're like, yeah, listen to the podcast. You listen to the podcast. And you're like, did you listen to the podcast? Way to go, Akshay. Way to call your friends out on that one. Yeah. Right?
I did call them out on it. Then I finished the story. So none of them denied me calling them out. So they all don't listen.
You know what the crazy part is?
Yeah.
That story was in the first 2 minutes of the podcast. Every part. Like, it wasn't even like in like a minute 15 where you gotta go through some of the agrees and disagrees. It's in the first minute. Like, if someone doesn't know that you watch this dating show on Netflix or watch a bunch of dating apps or dating shows, whatever the newest shows on Netflix, whatever it is, that's on them, because you're pretty upfront about your Netflix choices. I think Akshay's one of the guys who watches the dating shows, and he also watches one of those after porn ends.
No, don't watch after porn ends. I've never seen after porn ends.
There you go. That's Akshay's
spreading
show.
Spreading fake news. We went to Hoopstocks, me and you. That was fun.
That was actually really fun. So for everyone who knows, what is Hoopstocks?
Hoopstock is basically, a handful of basketball nerds get together. I mean, literally, this one was a handful. It might have been like 15, 20 people there. And we basically watch a panel of media members. So this session, it was Doug Smith, Sherman Hamilton, Paul Jones, Blake Murphy.
No, Jabari Young.
And Jabari Young. And I forgot the lady's name. I apologize. But
Kelsey.
No, Kelsey was the host. But
Katie Handel and William Liu.
Yeah. So it's a fun thing where they go up on stage. They just get asked questions, really informal. They're drinking beer on stage. Sometimes they tell you some interesting stuff that you wouldn't get to know unless you go to these events. Doug Smith's confidence of re-signing Kawhi was pretty high.
You made fun of me for that.
Yeah.
You made fun of me for my low amount here. And I was like, and he was like, oh yeah, 70%. I was like, 70%? Even at that time, I was like, did he say 70% that he thinks we can sign Kawhi back?
I know.
I was like, oh man, I don't know if you see him on the bench at all. He seems like they barely show him on the bench. Like, yeah,
I think the biggest thing for him is his health. Like, a couple of interviews I've seen him in the last few weeks, he keeps mentioning how health is so important to him. And the fact that the Raptors are doing like this ultra cautious approach of load management.
Kawhi was on load management today. So yeah. I'm also going to be not going to work tomorrow because load management is a legit excuse. But anyways, let's not digress. Let's get into the this week's games, right?
All right, let's do some likes and dislikes.
I don't even know where you're sitting at.
So likes and dislikes. So two games this week. The big one, San Antonio at Toronto on Friday night. My like was the second half adjustments for Kawhi. So Kawhi started off 2-for-13 in the first half, and then he shot 6-for-10 in the second half. He basically went inside the whole time. So I think they were blitzing Kawhi really early on the catch. So Nick Nurse's adjustment was essentially get him down low in transition and quickly throw it into him, and then he's so much stronger than everybody else. Let him just, you know, do post moves and score. And he scored a lot of his, like, six buckets were just layups because he did all these fancy post moves and got layups. So that was my like. My dislike was just that drip too hard. It was so annoying. Like, why are they shoving this? I don't know who it's by. I'm not listening to it. Why are they shoving this song down our throat every commercial break? Oh my God. I guess I'm remembering it. So it worked from an advertising perspective, but it was so annoying watching it. What were your likes and dislikes?
All right. My dislike of the week was, I think the offense looked lost for a bit, and I think it'll take time. That's the chemistry issue. There were times where I think Lin and Gasol just didn't know what the entire offense was going through. Kawhi was, I think, was really guarded really well. 2-for-13 for Kawhi is rare, and like, he was guarded really well by Patty Mills on the weak side, which was really good, because the way they guarded him was they allowed him, so they played the half court defense and the wraps really well, like set up the screen, set up everything out, made wraps make that really difficult shot. So wraps struggled in that one, right? So my like, drip too hard. Loved it. As you said, this line was sick. So you know what? I didn't know that you were going to say drip too hard, but like, I actually know the song is by Lil Baby, Drip Too Hard. And I'll tell you a couple of lines on this one. All right. Run that back turbo. You can get the biggest Chanel bag in the store if you want it. I gave him the drip. They sucked it up. I got him on it. I bought a new Patek. I had the watch, so I two-toned him. Now, I have no idea what any of these words mean. The only thing I got from this is a Chanel bag. I think he bought the Chanel bag, or he got the Chanel bag. I don't know. But I have no idea what drip means.
It means swag. That I know, because right? They mentioned it in the commentary.
And then it says, taking these drugs, I'm going to be up until the morning. That ain't your car. You're just a leaser. You don't own it. See, lease versus buying options here. So this guy's actually thinking about, he's definitely a buyer. He's not exactly discussing leasing options here. So definitely that song, very, very. So by the way, if people don't know, that song was played on like nonstop, the Raps broadcast in Toronto. So I don't know what this new partnership is with Lil Baby, but it was very interesting to say it. But overall, enjoyed that. OG made shots. I got ragged on for every time OG shot. I was like, oh God, please don't shoot, don't shoot. He made his shots. So
love. Well, he's been playing good the last week.
He's been playing well. He's been making, not corner, he's making side shots. That's good.
Yeah.
All right, next game.
wait, how did you think about the DeMar DeRozan return?
Okay, so before we move on. You know what? I've read so many articles leading up to the week, and they always ask about what do you think about DeMar. And I'll keep this short. Everyone in Toronto loves DeMar. The emotional return was good. 2.5 minutes of standing ovation. DeMar deserves everything in this the Raptors organization. I personally think he's the greatest Raptor ever to play. Greatest Raptor ever to play the game for us. He's repped Toronto hard. He's put Toronto up on the map as well. So I think he deserves everything. So I was happy for him. It sucked to see Raptors win like that, because it was literally ripping the ball out of DeMar DeRozan's hand and Kawhi dunking it, which was like painful to see, because we've seen DeMar do that moment for the Raptors earlier in the last 2-3 years. You know, like quite a few times you double team him and you can get like a steal or so. But overall, loved it. Happy for him. On to the next game.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Toronto did good on the tribute to DeMar. Yep. All right, the next game was today, Orlando at Toronto. Toronto got their butt kicked, and they lost by a whole bunch. I don't even have the score written here, but they lost by a whole bunch. My like for that game was I liked Lin and Gasol. I know Lin didn't shoot very well. I thought he got some good shots. He just didn't make them, but I thought he was aggressive. His playmaking was pretty good. Gasol's playmaking was pretty good. Overall, I thought they were kind of themselves. The first couple games for Gasol and Lin, I found that they're being so timid. They're trying to be the good vets, trying to get in. But they mentioned in the broadcast today, like you have to play your game, otherwise your teammates don't know how to play with you, right? Like if you're playing timid. So I was happy to see them kind of playing their game.
Yeah.
My dislike, I'm usually not a hater on Nick Nurse's experimentation, but even when I saw the lineup today, like the opening lineup, and I saw OG in there and Gasol, I just thought it was like too many things he was trying to test. Like he and then what he did was, I thought when I saw there was, it was a load management day. Happy load management day, everybody. I thought it was going to be Lynn or Powell in the starting lineup, like kind of the Van Vliet role, right? Maybe Powell goes in and then you keep Serge in there. And it's just like the normal starting lineup without Kawhi, but Powell in his place. I didn't like all the shuffling today because I felt like the shuffling, there was like no method to the madness. Unless it was just purely like Nick Nurse was like, I don't care about this game. Win, lose, whatever. I just want to see a whole bunch of combinations and whatever happens, happens. I just want to see what looks good and what doesn't. How about you?
So also in my dislike, Norm Powell looked like he went back to being like Norm Powell,
yeah,
2017. Like he dialed back and he was timid. He was going after layups where you know there's a shot blocker is going to block it. It was some easy blocks for the opponent. You know, not shooting when he had the opportunity to shoot. So it looked a little bit lost. I really feel like after the trade deadline, he's like digressed. I think I think he's taking up the void of the GoDaddy commercial. Yeah. That's what I think it is.
I mean, like, the other two got traded, so there's only him, right?
So Norm Powell, you're back on GoDaddy, GoDaddy duties, right? So I guess GoDaddy's got a quick the curse lives on.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned Gasol, but I'm assuming you mentioned Gasol in the offensive end. I think Gasol in the defensive end looked lost.
Yeah.
And I really think he looked lost for, and I guess you're chasing Vucevic, who stretches the defense out quite a bit. Like he's all over the place. But Gasol looked lost. He got some silly fouls again. I guess in San Antonio, he was in foul trouble as well. So early on, he got like two quick fouls, pulled out of the game, loses rhythm in that sense. So a little disappointing. I'm assuming he picks up his defensive chemistry with the team sooner or later. And I bring Gasol on the like, but this is Gasol on the offensive end. The chemistry he actually with Lowry. We saw glimpses of that, some pick and roll pops that I think Lowry did with JV. And it was good to see, you know, seeing that back and forth chemistry was hopefully coming in. And also Gasol, you can see the cutting options that exist. Lowry cutting in, OG Anunoby cut it in a couple of times. This is going to open up a lot of cutting opportunities. As I said before, we need to get Gasol in the post, spread it out a bit more, get some defenders out of the way, and get one of these guys to cut on baselines because we can get some easy buckets and get their confidence going, especially like guys like OG, Norm, Patrick, McCaw, who don't get that much like open shots.
Yeah.
Right? You're not going to take those shots in that sense. You got to be able to get those cutting buckets, the easy buckets, just to get those couple of points on the board so you get your confidence up. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think Gasol made a couple of really good passes. He made one to Jody Meeks, who he like literally yelled at. Oh. He's like, go. and then he went and he had an
easy. Also, Jody Meeks, man. This guy is highest offensive rating in the league right now.
Yeah. Instant offense comes in. Then he came in the second half and he
scored 10 points in, was it 19 minutes?
Something, yeah.
10 crazy. Points in 19 minutes for a 10-day contract. Put up like 20 shots or what is it? 10 shots? I think with 10 shots up. 10 shots up.
He put up 10 shots today?
Yeah.
He played garbage time too.
He played garbage time, but he made most of his shots were not in garbage time.
Yeah. He put up nine shots. He was 4.
Nine shots. There you go. Nine shots. He made a couple of 2 points. He missed a couple like open layups. I don't know why he wanted open layups earlier on, just because I think he was the whole timid approach, which I think is like, if you get an open layup, dunk it or like do it. But I don't think Jody Meeks can jump anymore.
Yeah.
Gain a little bit of weight there, buddy.
Yeah. Norm Powell is 0-3 today. 0 points. Ouch.
Tough. All right.
All right. Do the ad break. Tell them who we're sponsored by.
As we enter the second half of the season and make a stretch run to the playoffs, there have been many trades with some of the most prominent teams in the Eastern Conference. Lujubov Jimokang Lek is what Boban said to Tobias Harris when they were both traded in the 76ers. For those of you guys who don't understand Serbian, that means love is a powerful drug. They both got their chemistry, but they still seek it within the 76ers as they struggled recently against the Trailblazers and Enes Kanter. Chemistry takes time, but before you get to that, you need to meet your potential partner with whom you can work on that give and go, double team life partnership with. The most important aspect of a relationship is the chemistry and work. So through us, let's get to that phase quicker by getting the proper photos done so you can get that right swipe to seek that chemistry out. And our friends at tinderphotography.ca can hook you up to get that right swipe going. So contact tinderphotography.ca for your immediate great profile pictures.
Bobby and Toby reference. I like it. They've got traded with each other.
They've got traded twice. Yeah.
They went from Detroit to LA and then LA to Philly together.
You know, I think this loss humbles us almost. We saw I saw Boston lose to Chicago and 76ers lose to Portland recently. And both times I was like, oh, thankful. Boston was in Chicago. Like, I watched that game.
Yeah.
And I'll talk about that. That's the most ridiculous thing. I was like, I don't think Boston played that bad. They get flashy. That's the issue. They really try to get flashy and cute with their passes, like Kyrie included, and like Marcus Smart. They all try to do these weird, because they all have talent. Rozier, they all have talent. So they have a lot of turnovers. And then fast break points, you're playing Chicago. This is a fast break. Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine is going to destroy you.
Yeah,
on fast break,
Well, they scored 70 something points.
Yeah, they're both but Zach LaVine was making shots, and they're both making difficult shots as well. So it's not out of the ordinary, but it was definitely a demolish. They just killed the Celtics, and you definitely saw flaws in that Celtics organization, Celtics team, in terms of communication, and it just looked weird because all of them want to shoot the ball from these deep ranges and trying to become that hero.
They're really all guards. Good. They're all guards, right? It's all guards. So it's going to happen. Kyrie came out this week and said, nobody's going to beat us in 7 games, though. We have a ton of problems, but nobody's going to beat us in 7 games because it's I'm hearing your clock, by the way. So if anybody's curious what that sound
is. Yeah, that is my clock. It is currently, what are we taping at? 11 o'clock. There you go.
I was like, what is that sound? And then I've been to Talib's. Talib's taping from his parents' house today, and they have a clock that goes off every hour. So
every hour, thank you, clock. Amazing.
Okay, so we haven't done agree or disagree in a while, so today we're gonna do it. All right, so agree and disagree, or disagree. So this is how it works for people who are listening for the first time. Essentially, I just throw out a statement, and then Talib agrees or disagrees with the statement, and then we banter on and off about it, and hopefully we disagree once in a while, but we'll see how they go today. So we don't actually, I just put out the statements and then I'll see what Talib thinks of them on the pod. So my first statement is Pascal Siakam is now the number 2 scoring option on the Raptors. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I disagree with that. It's still Kyle Lowry.
You still think it's
Kyle Lowry? And I'll tell you two reasons. I'll tell you a couple of reasons here. One of the main reasons is Pascal's game has been through a transition drive game. The pull-up jumper does not exist. He's made some three-point shots from the corner. They've been wide open, and he's made them recently, which is good. But those are not your secondary option players. Secondary option players, I almost feel are coming off through a screen, getting that open shot. Pascal doesn't make that. Pascal's really good getting to the rim. But once you clog up that the inners, the paint in the playoffs, and you're not getting those calls, that's gonna be hard. But Pascal doesn't get the calls anymore. I was just debating with someone, and it's like he doesn't get the calls. He should be getting a lot more calls, but it's gonna be a lot harder.
Yeah,
in the playoffs, it's gonna be a lot harder. So I don't think Pascal's a number 2 scoring option. I think he's a great number 3. Right now, it's still Lowry, and that's why I think his offense is so important. And I loved when he was driving to the hoop a couple of days, just making sure that defenses are honest, because he doesn't need to drive every game. I don't think drive all the time, just because you just need that defense to be on their toes. So they play up, they don't play away from him and force him to shoot. They play close, so Kyle has that ability to blow past you with the screen or pull up that jumper. Both jumpers are hitting. And he's driving. So I stand by it. I think Kyle Lowry is our second option, not Pascal.
Yeah, so I actually disagree with the statement too. I agree with you. I think if you asked me 2-3 weeks ago, Pascal was acting like the second option, but my guess is the last 20 games you're going to start to see, and you're already starting to see it, you're going to start to see Kyle be a lot more aggressive. His whole thing this season has been trying to get the whole team to like work together. So he's been less aggressive just throughout the season, and you're seeing in the last week or two, he's starting to get a lot more aggressive. I think that's going to continue, and I think it's going to continue into the playoffs. There will be games where Pascal goes off, but if you ask me who's going to get more shots, Pascal or Kyle, in the playoffs, overall, I think probably Kyle will take more shots. The second statement, Marc Gasol should remain on the bench. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Yes. I want him to remain on the bench because I want to see him play a lot more with the bench guys and with the bench guys coming up. Like the playoff rotations are 8-man rotations. So I want to see him on the bench coming on playing with Jalen and OG Anunoby. I think him and OG Anunoby have potential to have really good chemistry because they're very good at what their skill sets. Gasol's on the block, decent rebounder, great passer. OG finishes really well to the rim, right? You've got to, and Lin as well. Lin, like, they're both really good at cutting screens. You got to take advantage of that. And I think Serge has done really well in the starting. Keep him there, man. Like, I see Gasol doing well with Pascal as well. But Pascal, he doesn't need that help. He really doesn't.
Yeah, he does a lot of ISO nowadays. Like, yeah,
Pascal's been doing a lot of ISO. Like, he gets an eye, he beats him. But it's like these hard shots. Like, don't get me wrong, I don't think they're like fantastic shots. He's like literally throwing the ball above some guy's head, which is like quite high. Like, he's banking off the top of the board. It's a scale, good for Pascal, but Gasol should come off the bench. Are we agreeing on this one?
Yeah, I know. I think he should come off the bench, but I a little bit disagree with you on the reasoning. I think he should come off the bench purely because of defense. I don't think so. If I look at the matchups that they could face in the playoffs, there's not too many traditional bigs, like huge, like big guys. There is one series that I could be convinced, and that's Philly against Embiid. But everybody else is way too mobile. And he's not as fast as he once was. And I would be much more comfortable with him coming off the bench where Nick Nurse can control the defensive matchup a little bit more than he can starting. I think Serge has done a good job. He should just continue.
He's got a new TV show. Or like a YouTube show.
The Mirror.
Ooh, Serge, he's got a cooking show and he's got like, design stylist show?
It's like a style show. He stands in front of a mirror. Like literally this is, Talib calls it a show. It's not a show. It's a clip. But he calls it the mirror. I guess he might do more of these clips. It was like 2 minutes long. He stands in front of a mirror with one of his outfits and just talks about what he's feeling that day and how the outfit.
My God. I was out at a party last night. I wore a tie. Yeah, I tell you, it wasn't like a fancy party, but I wore a tie and I could go on for 20 minutes. And how I felt that, how that tie embodied my personality.
You should do a Instagram clip of the mirror.
The reasoning, I had just learned how to tie a tie perfectly last 2 weeks ago. So I was like, I'm going to use every advantage to practice and use it properly.
So you went on YouTube and watched a video like the rest of us do.
Yes, absolutely right.
Okay. Yes. If you don't do it regularly, you will forget and go on YouTube
and you
again.
Literally look for like the ones that are like 3 minutes to 4 minutes long or like less. You like there are ones that are like 10 minutes. They're like, yeah, I'm not wasting 10 minutes on this. Like 3 minutes and they're like the horrible quality.
No, you know what I look for? I look for the mirrored ones.
Yeah, the mirrored
ones
are
interesting. So I can watch it. Like I can do the same like left to right motion instead of trying to go the opposite from the video. But every time I go out, which is not like, and I have to wear a tie, which is not too often, I watch the YouTube videos.
There you go. YouTube for ties, guys. Yeah. All right. What's the next?
Indiana is going to hold the number 3 seed. Do you think they're going to hold it?
Yeah, they're going to hold it. They're fantastic.
So?
Yeah. I think Indiana's fantastic. They're a fun team to watch. I think their defensive rating has taken a hit with Oladipo, but I think players like Darren Collison has been playing really well. He's been the guy like stepping up, making shots as well. Corey Joseph's been okay at the moment, but Bogdanovich? Bogdanovich playing well.
Wesley Matthews is playing well for them.
And the biggest one is, Wesley Matthews playing well. I think it's perfect. Good for him, right? BioCanada, this is the perfect time. You can try and get a big contract next year. Is Sabonis. You're seeing Sabonis. You know, Sabonis coming off the bench. He wasn't getting, now he's getting 30, he's getting 28 to 30 minutes a game, man. He's doing some damage. He is doing some damage against some teams, which is good to see, right? And he He's a different type of big. He's not like a new big, and that's he plays that old school game as well. So it's good to see, and I think Indiana's going to hold that. I think they have nothing to lose, everything to prove is what I call it.
So I think they're not going to hold it. I think they're very good, but the only reason I don't think they're going to hold it is because they have a really tough stretch in their schedule coming up. So they have their next five games are pretty good, like easy. They have Detroit, Dallas, Minnesota, Orlando, and Chicago. So if they can go 4-1 on that or 5-0, cool, maybe they have a chance. But then after that, it goes Milwaukee, Philly, New York, OKC, Denver, Portland, LA, Golden State, Denver, OKC, Boston. That's their schedule. That is crazy hard.
No, but you gotta understand, towards the end, you're gonna see these big teams resting a lot of players, man. And that's, I think, I don't think Indiana's gonna be doing that because they don't have anyone else to play. Like they're like a grind team. I see Golden State resting players. I see Boston even resting players, even though they're Boston. I see I don't know about Denver, but I do see some of these teams resting some big time players. I think the hardest ones are going to be these playoff teams, like not the like guys who are striving to get that 8th spot. Like I'm saying, the LA could be very difficult. I think like in LA, Charlotte, like all these kind of teams, Orlando may be difficult just because these are teams that are like striving for that playoff spot. They're going all out.
They're 40-20 right now. So if the last 22 games, I think they need to go about 15-7 to probably hold on to that 3
seed. Yeah, I think they have potential. I like Indiana. I'm rooting for them. So hopefully they should. They have the talent as well.
I'm rooting that they stay there for the Raptors' sake and the position.
No, I'm away from this basketball god. I don't want to get into this shit.
Okay, basketball gods. Sorry, I won't mention it. I won't mention the basketball gods. All right. Okay, second last one. The Milwaukee's defense is going to hold up in the playoffs. You disagree or agree with that?
I don't know about this. I really don't know. I'm going to say no. And the reason why I think this is they rank number one in free throws, right? Free throws allowed. As in, like, they don't allow that many free throws for teams. So they're not fouling, which is really good. They don't foul in the middle. They force teams to shoot the threes. They rank 30th in frequency in three ball defense and 20th in the percentage itself. Now, Boston is 29th in frequency, but they defend really, really, the 3-point really well. And I think when the playoffs come, you're going to see guys getting in the paint, getting like it's going to be forcing Milwaukee to play interior D. And I think that may be a little difficult for a team that hasn't done that well in interior D. They're going to force teams to teams are going to be like, you know what? We're not going to shoot the three. We're going to go inside the paint. But I'm not 100% sold on that. I think they're a phenomenal team to watch. They use Brook Lopez and Giannis really well as there's two bigs. So they force them to come into that paint and then kick it out. And they're like, you know what? We'll let them beat us on the three. But no one shoots really well because they can just outshoot the shit out of them.
Yeah. No. So I agree that they're going to probably. Their defense is going to diminish a little bit in the playoffs. Now I'm going to do a take that for data on this in probably a week or two. And so dive into a little bit about the Milwaukee defense, because it's very similar to the Atlanta defense that Coach Bud did, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. And it's actually a very interesting defense because it's kind of like a very all or nothing defense. They just give up a lot of 3-point shots, but they guard the crap out of the paint. Right, that's the gist of their defense.
Yeah, I mean that's what the numbers show right now as well, right? Yeah. So the frequency is they're allowing the league high 3-pointers. So if you got a really good 3-point shooting, that's why I think Golden State's gonna could be destructive. But yeah, they'll guard them really. They'll have matchup plans for that, right?
So they can. We'll adjust. Go into it later, but I think it's not gonna hold up. Okay, the last one, the conversation on 90% of ESPN shows.
It's like conversation, and then it's like there's no stats to back it up, and they just go like, you know, LeBron.
Yeah. So the Lakers are going to make the playoffs. Do you agree or disagree with that? So right now, just to give you context, and I know you already have your answer, but just to give the audience context, the Lakers are currently 3 games out of the 8th seed, which is currently the Clippers, who were trying to tank, but are actually playing okay.
Which is so funny.
And then between them, one, as Sacramento Kings are 11 back. Oh, sorry, one game back. And then the Lakers are three games back. So the Kings are between the Lakers in the eighth spot, and they're actively trying to win, and they're good. And they even got Harrison Barnes for a playoff push because they haven't made the playoffs in a billion years. So what do you think? You think Lakers are going to make the playoffs?
Yeah, they're going to make playoffs. This is LeBron James. Yeah. I have faith in LeBron. LeBron James is a beast. Although he's struggling here quite a bit of time. But I think I never think I'd say this, but Lonzo Ball is key to this defense. Like, holy shit, man. He's out for a while. And you watch this Lakers defense, they just get destroyed. Like, other than LeBron, there's, like, no one else in that team who, like, plays, like, half-ass defense. LeBron gets, like, the guy's 33 or whatever it is. But he still doesn't play like he's 30. He plays really young. He scores, he's getting 20 points, like, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, whatever it is. But he's getting a lot of, like, I think LeBron could have easily averaged 15 assists. Like, easily. Mm-hmm. His team cannot shoot open threes. Like, open. Like, he's getting these guys open looks. He just got to make them, man. That's all it is. It's tough to see LeBron do that as much. But it's also, like, the Lakers' fault. They really didn't add any shooters. They, in the beginning of the season, every other team LeBron's played with has added shooters, right? They added, like, the Cleveland, Miami. They had shooters in place that helped LeBron succeed in the way they did. Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka took a different approach, and now I think that's what's biting them in the ass right now.
Well, they took an approach that LeBron needs help playmaking because he's getting older. So everything about the numbers and everything about stats tells me to say no, that they're not going to make the playoffs, other than the fact that it's LeBron James, and we have been a victim of him so many times. Every time we think the numbers, like, him don't matter a lot. So I think they will make it, but I don't. So does that mean you think that the Clippers will fall out?
Yeah.
Do you think the Clippers and San Antonio fall out? Because they actually have the same record.
I think San Antonio may fall out as much as they don't want. They lost in New York. By the way, New York lost, just ended a 16-game losing streak by beating San Antonio. San Antonio
today?
May just
won. Oh, yeah. They played them today, right?
Yeah, they beat them right now. So be the Mariners. I think San Antonio may fall out, and you may have both the LA teams. And I think LA, if it's LeBron, I think he's really aiming for that 7th spot rather than that 8th spot.
Yeah. LeBron against the Denver Nuggets. Like, I'm taking LeBron.
I'm taking LeBron, man. Like, dude, I think LeBron against any other team in the East except for Golden State. Straight up, right? Yeah. That's in the West. Like, that's straight up. That's just LeBron. But anyways, all right. What's up next?
Okay, let's do some predictions. So this week we got three big games. We got Boston and Toronto. Portland at Toronto, and then Toronto at the US version of Toronto, Detroit, where it will be for anybody who hasn't watched a Detroit game, when Toronto's visiting them, it is the loudest let's go Raptor chant you'll ever hear. Boston, Toronto, what do you think? Win or loss? That's on Tuesday.
I got a loss in that one.
I
got a loss in that one. I just think it's I think Nick Nurse is going to hide some things. And I think he's going to hide some things. He's not going to showcase some good defensive coverages. And I think this is what he done that against Milwaukee as well, right? I think the Hoopstyle guys, I think they talked about it as well. And I do think it's very, very true in some ways. Like, we haven't seen Kawhi and Giannis.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we're going to see some good matchup in that sense, in this sense. I think they're gonna restrict Kawhi. They're going to be a little careful with a couple of things. And they may take a loss because Raptors don't care about this at the moment. Like, I think it's a good game. I would love to see a win, but I think this is going to be a loss. What about you?
I think it's going to be a win. The only reason, because I think they lost today, they're going to bounce back. Portland at Toronto. We're going to that game. Talon and I are going to that game with our buddy Frank. He's taking us on a date.
Date night with Frankie.
Exactly. He's an active listener, so he'll hear the shout out. Portland at Toronto. I think it's going to be a loss. That's the one that I called, which sucks because I went to the Denver game and they lost that game too. So
this straight up win, man. This straight up win. This hardcore win, 100%. This is exciting because it's going to be where Kyle Lowry destroys Dame Lillard.
That is his great analysis. Kyle Lowry beats Dame Lillard. All right.
No, I want to see Enes Kanter play. Some coins are Enes Kanter play. That's what it is.
He tweeted out after one game with Portland, this is how it feels to win. My man.
No, straight up, it does. You play. This is how it feels to win. You've been playing. He didn't play with New York. He was. They benched him. But you know what's the crazy part? They thought that if they played Enes Kanter, they'd be a winning team. That's the ironic. Yeah. That's the funny part about this entire thing.
They want a tank.
That's the jokes. I don't know who the jokes on. They both suck. Like it's.
They want a tank. They're going to bench any veteran. Then the last one, Toronto at Detroit.
Yeah, that's a win. This is a win. Good home game.
Home game, yeah.
Home game, buddy. Home game.
All right. All right. So we both got 2-1, except you got a different loss than I do.
Let's see what happens. Hopefully it's a good week. I'm hoping for a 3-0, but let's hope for the best as a Raptor fan. All right. Last few things. Appreciate the support, guys. If you love the podcast, if you like the podcast, even remotely like the podcast, if you just hear the podcast, we'd love a 5-star review. It'd be great. You can get a 5-star review on iTunes, or just download us and subscribe to us on iTunes and Spotify. And if you have comments, concerns, feel free to reach out to us on our Instagram page at the Untitled Raptors Podcast. We're trying to post a little bit more. Feel free to send us a message if there's any topics that you'd want us to cover. We're going to talk about the Milwaukee defense soon. If there's anything else, I think someone has mentioned the Nuggets offense or Nuggets defense. We'll try to get to that as well. So hopefully the more topics you have, the more analysis that we can do and get you some better insights.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Rate, subscribe, do all that fun stuff and slide into our DMs so we can get some real basketball conversation and not Instagram spam that we normally get.
I know. I don't want to see any more like nude pictures or any nude invitations for like one of those stupid spam. You always get a notification to someone, new follower. Oh, God damn it. This bot. This is a stupid Russian bot.
No more bots. Real people. Real people follow us. All right. Okay. Everybody have a good week. We'll see you next week talking some more Raptors.